This is our continuing coverage in the trial of Shanda Vander Ark, a twisted story of a mother who depraved her own child of food until the point of death, even employing her oldest son in this torturous charade. We now take you to the courtroom for our continuing coverage.
Just go get Paul and bring him in here now and avoid
having to drink from him
and then just say a few seconds.
Let's go off the record, Mike. 110 FC, People of the State of Michigan versus Shanda Vander Ark. The record should reflect that the jury is secure in the jury room. Mr. Paul Ferguson is present in the courtroom, has not been sworn in yet. Mr. Ferguson, you have an attorney which is present here today, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Elton, as I indicated before, Mr. Alan Brady is sitting in the front row. Mr. Alan Brady, you certainly can come up and sit beyond the bar if you wish to do so during his testimony. If you wish to do so, it's up to you. Okay. Mr. Ferguson, I want to advise you, you do have a right, a Fifth Amendment right, against self-incrimination, which means you cannot be compelled to testify against yourself. My understanding is that potentially you could testify to things that could potentially criminally inculpate you, basically get you in trouble, essentially, for lack of a better term, so implicate you in crimes. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you've had an opportunity to discuss your testimony today with your lawyer, Mr.
Yes,
Alden
sir.
Brady, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And knowing you have a right to not testify, do you wish to still testify today?
Yes, sir.
All right. Can you please raise your right hand? Oh, no, we need the jury out here.
Your Honor, I want to note for the record that my understanding is that people are offering an agreement to Mr. Ferguson that know that his testimony today will be used against him in trial unless he was to testify counter to his testimony.
Is that correct,
Your Honor? Actually, the full extent of the agreement is that we would also inform the sentencing judge of the nature of his cooperation in exchange for his full cooperation and testimony today.
Okay.
So we anticipate there would be a sentencing benefit for Mr. Ferguson. I believe that's his expectation as well. And we'll place that on the record for the jury as well.
Okay. Is that your understanding, Mr. Ferguson?
Yes, sir.
Now, I need you to understand, although there has been a suggestion that there is you were hoping to get a better sentencing, so basically some consideration at sentencing. I have not made any obligations whatsoever to take your testimony or cooperation into consideration. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
And still knowing that, you still wish to testify today. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Anything before we bring the jury out, Mr. Roberts?
No.
Mr. Johnson?
No, sir.
All right. Please rise. The jury is now present in the courtroom. Mr. Roberts, you can call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. My next witness is already in the witness chair, and that is Paul Ferguson.
All right, Mr. Ferguson, can you please rise and raise your right hand as best you can? In this matter now pending, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God?
Yes, sir.
All right, you can put your hand down, grab a seat. Please state your name for the record, spelling your first name and last name.
Paul Ferguson, PAULFERGUSON.
Mr. Ferguson, you are testifying here today, and is it your understanding that you do have an agreement with the Muskegon County Prosecutor's Office in exchange for your testimony today against your mother, the defendant in this case, Shanda Vander Ark?
Yes, sir. And is it your understanding that as part of that agreement, the people have agreed that none of your testimony today would be used against you should you exercise your right to have a trial in the pending criminal matter against you?
Yes, sir.
And is it also your understanding that in exchange for your testimony today, you understand that the prosecutor's office will make representations to the judge that oversees your case if such time is reached that you are sentenced in that matter and that you hope to get some sentencing benefit as a result of your testimony today?
Yes, sir.
And is that in exchange for your truthful testimony today?
Yes, sir.
Are you aware of any other promises in regards to your testimony today?
No, sir.
And and for clarity's sake, you are also charged in this matter involving the death of your brother. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And what charge is it brought against you at this point?
Child abuse first degree.
And what do you understand the potential maximum penalty for, strike that. I won't ask that question. And you are prepared to testify today, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And you understand that your attorney that represents you in your pending criminal matter is present in the courtroom, that's Mr. Eldon Brady, and if at any time you need to ask him any questions or take a break, you just let us know, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, Mr. Ferguson, I'd like to start by just talking a little bit about your home in Norton Shores at the time that your brother passed away. And so you understand, and I'll try to make sure that I ask these questions very carefully because you haven't been present for this entire trial. You have a younger brother. We are not using your younger brother's name today, okay? So we're just going to use the initial G when we talk about your younger brother. So try to remember as best you can that if I ask a question that somehow involves your younger brother, that we're not going to say his name, okay? Can you do that?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll try to ask those questions very carefully so that we don't get into that issue. But besides your younger brother, G, and yourself, at the time that your brother Timothy Ferguson passed away, who was living at the house in Norton Shores? Besides you and your younger brother, who else was living in the house?
My mother and my little brother, though he was at my grandparents at the time, my step grandparents.
And obviously your younger brother, if you can put it that way, but your youngest brother is the one that we're not identifying by name. He was living in the house at the time that your next youngest brother, Timothy Ferguson, passed away, correct?
Yes, sir.
And your mother was also living in that house as well?
Yes.
And is she in the courtroom right now?
Yes, sir.
As best you can you kind of point her out or maybe say what she's wearing right now?
Her hair is in two braids. She's got, I think that's a black sweatshirt.
I think that's sufficient for the record to reflect the witnesses identified the defendant, Your Honor.
Yeah, the record reflect that.
Now let's back up just a little bit from the time your brother Timothy actually passed away. When did Timothy come to live with you and your mother in that house?
May 27th of 2001.
2001. 2000, was it maybe 2021?
21. Okay. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. So in May of 2021, Timothy came to live with you, is that right?
Yes, sir.
And at the time when Timothy came to live with you, besides yourself and G, was there somebody else that was living in the house during that time period?
Other than my mother and half-brother, my stepfather, Adam.
Okay. And your stepfather, Adam, was he married to your mother at that time?
Yes.
And is he actually the father of your younger brother, G?
No.
But your mother is the mother to you and to Timothy and to G, is that right? She's your mother, she's Timothy's mother, she's G's mother, is it better way to put it?
Yes.
Right? Yes. And at some point in time, did something happen to Adam where he wasn't living in the home anymore?
He suffered a stroke in January.
Did he leave the house at that point?
Yes.
When he left the house at that point, then is that then when it became just you, your two brothers and your mother living in the home?
Yes, sir.
And when Adam suffered the stroke, was he physically able to do anything to provide any care to either you or to Timothy or to G?
No.
And where did Adam go when he left the house after the stroke?
After the hospital, he went to live with my step-grandparents, my in-laws, and in their house in West Olive.
When did the stroke happen?
January.
And from the time the stroke happened, was he ever back in the home in any way?
No.
And your the folks that he went to live with were his parents, is that right?
Yes.
And they live in West Olive down in Ottawa County?
Yeah.
So those would be like your step-grandparents?
Yes.
And Timothy's, they'd be Timothy's step-grandparents as well, is that right?
Yes.
Now, in addition to your younger brothers that we've talked about, do you have any older siblings as well?
Yes.
Who are your older siblings?
My biological brother, Nolan, stepsister, Chelsea, stepbrother, Chris. There's, I don't know exactly how to put it, step brother and sister, Kenzie and Xavier, I suppose would be the terminology.
But biologically speaking, you have an older brother, Nolan, is that
yes.
correct? And Nolan is how much older than you?
2 years.
2 years older than you?
Yes.
And was there a time where he lived with you at the house in Norton Shores?
No.
Where does Nolan live?
North Carolina.
So Timothy came to live with you, and prior to Timothy coming to live with you, was it just you and G and your mom and stepdad in the house at that time?
Yes.
So you went from 4 people in the house to 5 people in the house in May of 2021?
Yes.
And then back down to 4 people when Adam unfortunately had his stroke in January of 2022?
Yes.
Now, around the shortly after the time of the stroke, did there come a point in time where you became involved in having to administer some discipline to your younger brother, to Timothy?
Yes.
We'll talk about some specifics, but we've already had some text messages read, and you've had an opportunity to kind of hear about some of those text messages throughout this, right?
Yes, sir.
And you sent text messages back and forth between yourself and your mother. And we have those text messages from January through the time of your brother's death in July of 2022. Is that your understanding?
Yes, sir.
At some point in time in February, there's a discussion fairly early in those text messages about blocking Timothy's access to food. Can you describe what was happening at that time and how he was restricted from getting access to food?
He was sneaking food that was not necessary at that time, and it was solved by placing locks on the fridge, freezer, and pantry.
When we say he was sneaking food that wasn't necessary, who would make that determination that it wasn't necessary?
Shonda.
And what type of food are we talking about that he would sneak that wasn't necessary?
Sweets or anything he could really get his hands on.
So as early as February, there was restriction that the locks were going on the freezer and the refrigerator, and you said there was also some type of lock on the pantry. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And we've heard a text exchange, but at some point a little bit later, as things are progressing into April, was there a time where Timothy was doing something to get the locks off of the pantry door?
He was pulling them off by hand.
And what were you instructed to do as a result of him pulling the pantry door locks off? Let me ask you this way. Were you given some instruction to replace that lock?
Yes.
And who gave you that instruction?
Shonda.
And what was your understanding of why you were locking the pantry back up?
Because he was sneaking food.
Let's talk about your brother Timothy for just a little bit. Did Timothy have some special needs?
Yes.
What was your understanding of what his special needs were?
He was attention deficit hyperactive disorder, as well as autistic. He had speech and motor impairments.
Speech and what type of impairments?
Motor impairments, movement impairments.
Movement impairments?
Yes.
And at the time that he came to live with you, was he supposed to be taking some medication?
Yes.
And did he stop taking his medication?
Yes.
Why did he stop taking his medication?
Could you please reiterate?
Yeah, I guess the better way of saying it is, who made the decision for him to stop taking his medication?
Shonda.
As far as you know, from the time that Timothy came to live with you in May of 2021 in Norton Shores to the time of his death, did you ever see Timothy go to a doctor?
No.
Did Timothy go to school?
Not public, no.
How was he schooled?
Home.
And when you say homeschooled, what would that entail?
At first, it was assignments on a tablet, and then my mother restricted it to where she would print out the assignments, and he would sit downstairs and do them.
So he never went to school and never went to a doctor, as far as you could see?
Yes, sir.
Basically, from January, from the time of the stroke moving forward, was Timothy allowed to even leave the house?
No.
When, if ever, was he ever allowed to go outside?
To walk the dogs sometimes.
And when he would walk the dogs, where was it that he would walk the dogs?
In the backyard, out of sight.
Was there ever some physical discipline that was involved with him being outside as well?
Yes.
What was that discipline?
He was made to run up and down the patio stairs.
And those are stairs in the back of your house?
Yes, sir.
Are those visible at all from the front of the house?
No, sir.
Visible to anyone walking by on the street or driving by, anything of that nature?
No, sir.
There are some text messages referenced in there where there's a discussion about doing the stairs chasing style. What is that, if you remember?
Following close behind him to ensure he moves faster.
And who would be the one that would chase him if that was taking place?
I had to.
What was, besides, you've talked about some of the special needs that Timothy had when he came to live with you. What was his overall physical appearance, though, when he first came to live with you?
He wasn't skinny, but he wasn't extremely overweight. He had a good amount of chubbiness to him.
So he was a little chubby?
Yes.
Obviously, as we all know, and now the jury's already seen some of the photographs that went away at some point in time. When did the food restriction on Timothy start, with the locks going on the refrigerator, the freezer, and the pantry, and things of that nature? When did that actually begin?
Sometime in February.
There's been some testimony already about Timothy going on a hunger strike around the time of Adam's stroke. To your knowledge, did Timothy ever go on a hunger strike when Adam had his stroke?
No, sir.
There's also a reference to him going on another hunger strike about 2 weeks before he passed away. excuse me, did that happen?
No, sir.
Police have indicated at the time they searched a residence, there were a number of cameras seized, as well as some other items. So let's talk about the cameras first. What was the purpose of the cameras being inside the residence?
To watch Timothy.
And who would be watching Timothy on those cameras?
My mother, or when she couldn't, she had me do so.
And how is it that you would, kind of explain for the jury if you can, how is it that you watched the cameras so you could watch what Timothy was doing?
I would log into the app on my phone, and it would alert me if there was a motion movement.
So you had some type of, you had your phone, and you had some type of app on there that was connected to those cameras?
Several, yes.
And you said that you were also alerted to movement. Were there motion sensors in the home?
Yes, and the cameras also had that feature as well. They activated on motion.
And what was the restriction on Timothy's movement that would cause those cameras to go off? Where was he limited to?
Could you please reiterate?
Yeah. Where could Timothy go, basically?
Mainly he was restricted to the downstairs area, to a closet downstairs.
The downstairs area actually contained two bedrooms. One was yours and one was G's bedroom, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And there was also a bunk bed that was out in that area that the defendant indicated was Timothy's bunk bed, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Where did he actually sleep most nights?
In the closet.
What did you call the closet? Was there a name you used to refer to the closet?
The small room.
And what was in the small room if Timothy was in the small room?
There was a camera monitoring him, even when he slept.
Was there an alarm on the door as well?
Yes, sir.
Some type of motion sensor or alarm?
Motion, vibration, yes.
So we had that on the door and then a camera actually inside the room as well. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And were there times where you were required to watch that camera?
Yes, sir.
And to your knowledge, were there times when your mother was watching that camera as well?
Yes, sir.
Was there a restriction on how much Timothy could move while he was inside that closet?
Could you please reiterate, sir?
Were there any restrictions on his movement inside the closet, or was it he could move around however he wanted inside the closet?
There were restrictions.
What were the restrictions on his movement?
Hands on his head, normally.
Hands on his head, is that what you indicated?
Yes.
Was that some form of discipline for him?
Yes, on his knees and against a corner or wall of the room.
And when you say hands on head, I'm going to demonstrate just putting my hands just over my head like this. Is that what he was required to do?
Yes.
He was required to be on his knees as well? Say yes?
Yes, sir.
You have to say yes or no, because this is
I apologize. Important.
You're fine. No, it's fine. Everybody makes that mistake. It's not a problem. And was he monitored to make sure that he was doing those things?
Yes, sir.
And for how long would he have to do these things?
Several hours.
And that was inside his closet, for lack of a better way of putting it, what you referred to as the small room, correct?
Yes, sir.
Were there also times when he was required to stand against the wall?
Yes, sir.
And would that be in the closet, or would that be in other places in the house?
At times it would be upstairs by the back door or on the wall between me and G's room.
And when he would stand against the wall, how long were we talking about that he would be required to do that?
Hours, sometimes overnight.
At some point, did you utilize some type of alarm or alarms on his body to alert you if he was moving?
A vibration detector, yes.
Was there more than one that he was required to wear at times?
At times, yes.
Where were those devices located on his body?
They were normally tied to the back loop of his belt, or the back loop of his pants, I apologize.
And was there something placed on his wrist as well at any point?
Handcuffs, and before that, zip cuffs.
When you say zip cuffs, are those put together with zip ties?
Yes.
And those were designed to restrict what?
Movement.
Of what part of his body?
His hands.
I think there's a text exchange that the jury's heard a couple of times where it's referencing him tightening those zip cuffs on his wrist. Do you recall that?
Yes, sir.
And so what was happening that caused you to send that text message and had that exchange with your mother about those zip cuffs?
He was complaining about them being too tight.
And what was your mother's response when he was complaining about those being too tight?
To leave them and she'd deal with it after she got home.
So the jury has some clarity in terms of a schedule here. You and your mother worked basically different shifts, for lack of a better way of putting it. Is that fair to say?
Yes, sir.
What was your job at that time?
I worked as a dishwasher at Applebee's.
And was that, which Applebee's?
The one in Grand Haven right off the bridge.
What was your normal shift that you would work?
4 to close.
What, at that time, was your mother working as well?
Could you reiterate?
Did your mother have a job as well?
Yes.
Where was your mother working?
As a court scribe, I believe you would call it.
Okay. And where physically was that job?
That I remember of, did she say here at this courthouse?
So there was a time she worked at the Muskegon County Courthouse?
Yes.
Do you remember a time when she worked in a northern county at a courthouse as well?
I believe so, yes.
And what was her normal hours that she would work?
6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
So would it be fair to say that you two are not together in the house very often?
Yes.
So whose responsibility was it to keep an eye on Timothy if she was not in the house?
Mine.
And vice versa, like if you were not in the home, who would take the responsibility of watching Timothy at that point in time?
She would.
At the small room that you've described, at some point in time, there was a tarp placed in there. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And what was the reason there was a tarp placed in that room?
Due to Timothy's bladder problem, Shonda didn't want him urinating on the floor.
Would that be something that he would do?
Yes.
Did he wear some type of adult diaper?
Adult diaper, yes.
And let me ask it this way. If Timothy had to go to the bathroom, how would he go to the bathroom?
He would have to ask, and he would be timed.
And who would do the timing?
Whichever one of us was there.
So we'd ask, Maslow Cast asked permission to go to the bathroom?
Yes, sir.
And what was what time was he allowed to go to the bathroom?
For urinating, it was a minute.
You can say the word, it's okay.
Taking a poop, it was 2 minutes.
And who set those time limits?
Shonda.
We've seen a lot of text messages and references to hot sauce and hot sauce retrieved from the home. At some point in time, were you asked to start feeding him bread with hot sauce on it?
Yes.
And who asked you to do that?
Shonda.
Why were you giving him bread with hot sauce on it?
Because he was supposedly misbehaving.
And how would you... I mean, describe to the jury what you would do to do that and to make him eat the bread with hot sauce.
I would put it on bread, have him stand in the kitchen area near the back door and watch him eat until he finished.
And was he required to eat it until it was all gone?
Yes, sir.
Did it ever look like he wanted to eat the bread with hot sauce?
No.
Were there times where you were told that he could have something besides bread with hot sauce on it if he ate the bread with hot sauce first?
Regular bread, yes.
So he had to eat that bread with hot sauce first, and then he could have some regular bread?
Yes.
Did he have to wait a period of time before he could eat the regular bread, though?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember about what that was, about how long?
30 minutes.
Taking the bread out of the equation, was hot sauce used in some other fashion as a form of discipline for him?
It was poured directly into his mouth.
And who would do that?
Me or Shonda, me under her orders.
And it's just like what you sound like? How did you do that?
Had him open his mouth and poured it in.
There's some text messages. Do you recall a text message you exchanged with your mother in, I believe it's around April or so, where you've alerted her to the fact that he's eaten some part of a burger?
Yes.
Do you recall that?
Yes.
What was it? What part of the burger is it that he ate?
Just the crust.
And what was your mother's response when you told her that he had eaten the crust of that burger?
Make him throw it up.
Did you try to do that?
I tried at first, yes.
How did you try to do that?
Putting a finger into his mouth as instructed to the back of his throat to induce vomiting.
So who gave you the instruction to put your finger in the back of his throat?
Shonda.
We don't see a text message to that effect. Were you two also communicating by camera as well?
Yes.
The cameras had a two-way capability, basically?
Yes.
You could talk to the camera.
You could talk and they could hear. At certain times, it could be activated.
Was there ever any other time where she instructed you to make Timothy throw up?
Yes.
About how many times did she instruct you to do that?
Three or four.
At some point in time, did
Was there a form of discipline introduced that involved you placing Timothy in a cold tub?
Yes.
And what was the mechanism for that? How did you do that?
Clog the tub, plug it, turn on the water, and take the ice that was in our ice maker upstairs and put it in, and have him get in.
Initially, how long was he supposed to sit in the cold water?
30 minutes.
30 minutes? And that, when we say cold water, we actually mean water with ice cubes in it? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
And how often, when did that start in relation to when Timothy died, if you remember?
I do not remember the exacts.
And do you know about how many times you did that up until the day the day before Timothy died?
Before the day that Timothy died?
The day before Timothy died. We'll get to that in just a moment, and I believe that...
Three, then.
So you remember doing it three times before the day before Timothy died?
Yes.
And who would direct you to put him in the ice bath?
Shonda.
Was there some type of camera in the bathroom as well?
Yes, on the counter.
Was that camera monitored by somebody if you were in the bathtub, or if you were in the bathroom with Timothy?
Shonda.
Were you instructed to stay in the bathroom with Timothy when he was in the tub?
Yes.
Why?
To ensure that he couldn't get comfortable or try to turn the water hot.
And what would you, if you tried to move around, what were you instructed to do?
I don't quite understand.
If you said that you were supposed to make sure that he stayed uncomfortable, how were you supposed to make him uncomfortable in an ice bath?
Put his body at an odd angle that was not a comfortable position to be in.
When he was in the tub, would he try to rest his head somewhere?
On his shoulder, yes, or the lip of the tub.
Is that allowed?
No.
I know this is difficult for you, Paul, and you and I have had a number of conversations about this matter, but I need you to look at a text message that you sent to your mother. It's got a photo that you took of your brother. You remember sending that text message?
Yes, sir.
For the record, this is People's 36A. This has been previously shown to the jury. Who took that photo of your brother?
Me.
And you sent it to your mother?
Yes, sir.
Why did you send it to your mother?
Because I was concerned with how thin he was.
And that photo was taken on, do you remember what the date was?
Not the exact, no.
If your phone indicated it was June 13th, you'd have no reason to dispute that.
No, sir.
And you just became, again, the reason you sent it to your mother was why?
Because I was concerned about how thin he was.
And you remember what your mother told you to give him after you sent her that photograph?
Bread.
And then is there a reference to bread and some peanut butter?
Yes.
So at that point, your brother's very skinny, right? Was he eating regular meals at that point?
No.
Were you still administering the hot sauce on the bread as a form of punishment for him during that time period?
Yes.
And did that continue all the way up until the time of his death?
Yes.
Did he ever eat any normal type of meal leading up to his death after you took that photo and sent it to your mother?
That day I made him an actual real meal, an actual peanut butter and jelly sandwich, as well as scrambled some eggs and put cheese in them.
Did you tell your mother you'd made that meal for him?
No, sir.
Why not?
Because I didn't want her to be upset with me.
Let's move up to the day before your brother passed away. Do you remember the day before your brother died?
He was unresponsive when I went to when I was told to get him up.
So you were given some instructions to wake him up in the morning?
Yes.
Was your mother already at work?
Yes.
Were the cameras activated at that point, though?
Yes.
So your responsibility when you had to go wake him up was what? Just to do what? To get him up?
Just wake him up, which normally wasn't difficult before then.
But, and this is the day before he passed away, but was it difficult on that day?
Very.
Did you scream at him and yell at him to get him to try to wake up?
Yes.
And at some point were you instructed to do something with him because he wouldn't wake up?
Put him in an ice bath.
And did you do that?
Yes.
Was he able to, where was he sleeping that night?
The closet.
So when you went to wake him up and he was unresponsive, was he still in the closet?
Yes.
How did you get him from the closet to the bathroom with the
to drag him.
He didn't stand on his own?
He couldn't, no.
Didn't walk on his own? Is that
No.
Was he even talking at that point?
No.
Do you remember about what time it was that you put him in the ice bath?
Not exactly, no.
If the text message indicated it was around 2 o'clock, does that sound about right?
Yes.
What time did you have to leave for work that particular day?
I was supposed to be at work at 4, but unfortunately, due to a flat tire on my e-bike, I had to wait till 6 for my mother to get home and drive me to work.
So from 2 to 6 until your mother got home, you were home with Timothy, is that right?
Yes.
And where was Timothy that entire time that you were home with him?
In the bath.
In the ice bath? Was your mother giving you instructions on what to do with him while he was in that tub then, at that point in time?
Yes, sir.
What was she telling you to do?
Make him uncomfortable, and at one point she had me heat up a pizza roll to see if he would be responsive to enticement.
Did you actually do that?
Yes.
And what did you, so describe for the jury exactly what you did with that pizza roll with Timothy in the tub.
I held it close, and when he responded, as per instruction, I was to pull it away from him.
So you, and you, did you actually do this?
Yes.
So you actually held a pizza roll in front of him to see if he would respond? Is that yes?
Yes, sir.
I know it's difficult. Did he respond?
Yes, sir.
And what did you do when he tried to respond?
I had to, or as I was told, I pulled it away.
So he didn't get to eat the pizza roll?
No.
Do you recall while Timothy was in the tub an exchange where your mother inquired about pouring hot sauce on his private parts?
I do, yes.
Did you do that?
No. That was beyond cruel, as everything else was.
So you put him in the tub around 2. Did your mom come home at 6?
Yes.
And when your mom gets home at 6, did you go to work at that point in time?
She drove me to work, yes.
And was Timothy still in the tub at that point in time?
Yes.
So you and your mom drove to Grand Haven to drop you off at work, and Timothy's just in the tub?
Yes, sir.
Was he even physically able to move around at that point in time?
No.
Do you recall getting a text message from your mother around 11:30 or so that night while you were at work?
Yes, and though I saw it later than that because I was busy.
So you received the text message, but you didn't actually read it until a little bit later than it was received?
Yes, sir.
And what did you understand from that text message from your mother about where Timothy had been up until the time you were at work at 11:30 at night?
Still in the tub.
So that's 9 hours plus from the time that you first put him in the tub at 2 o'clock?
Yes.
When you got home, do you remember about what time you got home that night?
1 o'clock.
How did you get home? Did somebody give you a ride?
Yes, a co-worker.
Did your mom didn't pick you up that night, did she?
No.
When you got home at 1 o'clock, did you go to your bedroom?
Yes.
Downstairs in the basement area, the lower level?
Yes, sir.
Did you see Timothy at all?
No.
Did you check on him at all?
No.
When did you next become aware that something was happening with Timothy?
The next morning.
And what happened?
I had to get up early so that Shonda could drive me to the premises area of work. And I'd gone to the laundry room to get a pair of clean socks and was then made aware that he was not breathing.
And where was he at that point in time?
In the closet.
And who made you aware that he wasn't breathing?
Shonda.
Was he on his bunk bed?
No.
Was he ever on his bunk bed from the time that he was in that small closet until the time the police arrived? If you know, do you know how much time passed from the time that you first became aware he wasn't breathing until 911 was called?
18 minutes.
And during that 18 minutes, did you tell your mother or ask your mother if you were going to call 911?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember what she said?
No. She said no. Sorry, that was my bad.
I'm sorry. Good. Let's clarify that. Do you remember what your mother said when you asked her if we should call 911?
She said no.
So you didn't call 911 at that time?
No.
During that time period, what were you doing?
I was attempting to resuscitate, though it was too late.
At the time when he came out of the small room, how did he get out of the small room at that point? How did his body actually come out of the small room?
He was removed.
By who?
Shonda, and I believe I helped a bit.
What was he wearing when he came out of the room?
Nothing but an adult diaper.
At some point, did you put clothes on him?
Yes.
Who put the clothes on him?
Both me and Shonda, per Shonda's request, order, however you'd like to phrase it.
So before he was wearing the diaper, but you put the clothes on him while he's unresponsive outside of the small room?
Yes.
And what, do you remember what clothes you put on him?
A hoodie, a pair of my jeans, and Shonda had me remove my belt and put it on him.
Did she tell you why she wanted you to take the belt off and put it on?
Because the pants were too big.
At some point, the 911 is actually called, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, before 911 was called, and I guess let me ask you this, who actually called 911?
Me.
But did Shonda actually talk to the 911 folks, if you remember?
Not that I remember of, no.
Okay. Before 911 is called, was there some discussion about a hunger strike?
Yes.
What was the discussion about the hunger strike at that point?
Shonda said to say that he'd gone on a hunger strike.
Was
and that
he,
we found him on the bed.
Seems dead. Obvious, but who was she referring to?
Timothy.
And said that he was found on the bed?
Yes, the bed.
So 911 comes at that point, and then the police are also involved, is that right?
Yes, sir.
At some point in time, did the police leave you guys alone in the home?
Yes.
Later that night?
Yes.
And when that happened, did Shonda do anything with any of the items in the house?
She disposed of evidence.
What did she dispose of?
Vibration detectors, a camera upstairs that was not confiscated. She broke the memory chip that was inside into four pieces and threw them out the window as we were driving to Grandma and Grandpa Vander Ark's.
So you went down to Grandma and Grandpa Vander Ark's that night?
Yes.
And she disposed of evidence on the way down to...
Yes, and the vibration alarms were thrown into a trash can, stuffed in a plastic bag and thrown into a trash can at the Chick-fil-A near our house.
You say the vibration alarms, are you talking about the sensors that were on the doors?
Yes.
Was one of those the sensor that was on the small room door?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson, we've had some, you testified about some of the alarms that were placed on Timothy's body. Did those alarms, what would those alarms do? I mean, how would they make noise or alert people?
A loud beeping.
Was that something you could hear if you were in close to the alarms?
Yes, through solid wall even.
And did Timothy have some ear problems?
Yes, what sensitive were, hearing.
He had sensitive hearing?
And had tubes implanted at one point.
To your knowledge, was Shonda aware that he had these hearing problems and the tubes in his ears?
Very much so.
And were the, again, to your knowledge, was it indicated to you that the alarms were a form of punishment for him, that as if they went off, they would be harmful to him,
painful,
or distracting to him?
I believe so.
And we talked about the being made to stand against the wall. Was he made to do something else against the wall as a form of punishment as well?
Wall sits.
And wall sits, for the jurors that might not be aware, is what, basically?
Back pressed against the wall, sitting with your, crouched with your legs as though you're sitting in a chair.
But nothing to support your weight on your
no.
buttocks or your upper thigh area?
No.
And he was, at some point he was forced to do that as well. I have no further questions.
Okay. Before you begin, Mr., I think it's a good time to take a longer afternoon break. So let's adjourn till approximately 3:45, and then we'll return. Please rise. I can be seated. Anything else, Mr. Roberts, before we break?
Thank you, Jeff.
And Mr. Johnson.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to be
set. There's more to come in the trial of Shanda Vander Ark. Here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Stay with us.